Welcome to Witness Wednesday. I'm your host, Pastor Mark Wood, with the LCMS Office of National Mission, here in the studios of Worldwide KFUO Radio with Andy Bates.
Good morning.
Good morning, Andy.
Blessed Veterans Day.
Well, thank you.
Thanks for your service.
Well, it was a pleasure, an honor, and probably the best thing I ever did in my life. Well, you know, Jesus has done a lot of better things for me, but the best thing I ever did was serve in the Air Force. It was great for me, so...
And it's a good day to give thanks. We're throughout the day talking about veterans here at KFUO and thankful for the people that have served in our lives. Witness Wednesday, anything about veterans today?
No, actually, I didn't focus in on veterans. But, you know, now that you've offended me, I don't want to share Jesus with you. Well, that's the topic.
Oh,
you didn't
okay.
offend me, but... I've been thinking about, you know, our series, Obstacles to mm-hmm. Witnessing.
Oh, that's right. Yeah.
Yeah. So, and so what are the obstacles to witnessing? Well, there's actually a lot of them. And I think this is a big one for us.
Mm-hmm.
People's sin offends us. We find it offensive, troubling,
mm-hmm.
and then we have a hard time. Well, how do I witness to this person?
Well, even, yeah, I was going to say my sin offends. I know that. It even offends me.
And it should. And there's much of it. But, you know, when I talk about sins that offend, you know, we look around our culture. Okay, so current news. So if you're listening to us on the archive, hopefully you know what I'm talking about. Red cups from Starbucks. I can't believe the outrage that I've heard over this from Christians.
I think I've seen more people saying, simmer down, it's not that big of a deal, more than I've seen outrage.
Right. I mean, Starbucks is not in business to proclaim the gospel of Jesus. If they want to use a red cup for Christmas, so what? I mean, what are we going to put on there instead? Snowmen and snowflakes and reindeer and Santa? That's not Christmas.
That's winter.
That's winter. But it touches on this topic because Christians get offended by what's going on in people's lives, in our culture, in our society, and our reaction to that offense is to withdraw, circle the wagons. So we find this an obstacle to sharing the good news of Jesus with people whose sins we find troubling or offensive.
And really, it's our own weakness that's the obstacle.
And the fact that we find some sin offensive or troubling and not all sin troubling and offensive really speaks to us, too. Because we know that, you know, the scripture says all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and any sin, all sin is offensive to God.
Certainly.
And yet did that stop God from coming into the world to rescue us?
No.
Not from what I've read. Recently,
so. Some sins we wear on our sleeves, some we wear proudly, some we are ashamed of and we hide. Some others don't know about at all.
Right. And I think that's the challenge to us as witnesses. When we see people who are sinning in a way that we find troubling and they're just really not just comfortable with it, they're proud of it, they're celebrating it. And certainly our culture is filled with more and more examples of this. I was recently talking to someone about, you know, mainstream television. Now, mainstream television isn't the four networks anymore. It's Netflix, it's mm-hmm. HBO, it's Showtime, it's Amazon, producing their own television shows and series. And many of these series, well, you know, by any standard of network television would have been considered not arable. It's, mm-hmm. it's pornography, but it's mainstream pornography. And yet I know many Christians who will watch Game of Thrones or watch The Tudors or True Detective, which has this pornography in it, and think nothing of it. They're not offended by it. It's just, oh, it's just part of our world and I'm okay with it. And but then we'll quickly say, oh, well, this show is about homosexuals, and that's offensive and disgusting, and we don't want anything to do with it. And so we have this problem ourselves with seeing sin for what it is.
Hmm.
And then part of our sin is Well, Jesus kind of summed it up, what? Take the plank out of your own eye before taking the speck out of another's. And so we our starting point of being effective witnesses of Jesus when it comes to being troubled by other people's sins is to recognize our own sin.
And hopefully we would be troubled by our own sin.
Yes, and that would call us to repentance. Hmm. And so so yesterday I got the joy of going to the dentist. You know, I thank God.
I like your perspective.
Yeah, I thank God for modern dentistry. As they were drilling away on my tooth, I said, I broke a tooth and they had to fix it. And I was like, I'm sure glad I'm not doing this like 100 years ago. So as much as I don't particularly care to go to the dentist, it could be a lot worse. But I got plopped in the chair and they shoot you up full of stuff and walk away and let you get numb. And Ellen is on the TV, and she's running down Christians over this Starbucks coffee cup thing. And it was offensive. And, part of being offended by it is recognizing there was some truth to what she was saying. But, it's like, I don't want to watch this. I'm stuck.
Captive audience.
Yeah. I would rather not know what people are saying. I would rather withdraw from it into my comfort zone. But as witnesses, we're not allowed to do that. God wants us outside of our comfort zone because it's outside of our comfort zone where the people who don't know Jesus are.
Hmm.
The people who are they may be celebrating their sin, but they're lost in their sin. They may be proud of their sin, but we know that God brings down the proud. And we're here in the world as witnesses of Jesus to bring good news of forgiveness, life, and salvation to those whose sins are offensive to us. And we got to get over that.
Mm-hmm.
Does that mean we embrace the sin?
Well, that's what the world would say. If you can't solve it, just embrace it.
Right. So we have this confusion in our culture today that says if you speak out against something, you're a hater, you're a phobic of some kind. There's these defenses that have been built up around these sins that we have to be wise as serpents and gentle as doves, as Jesus put it, to work through those obstacles. And that's what being a witness is, working through those obstacles, not withdrawing from it and say, well, I would tell them about Jesus, but they're putting up barriers. I don't want to deal with that.
Hmm.
Besides, I don't like their sin anyways.
So being a witness, even when there are obstacles, is something that's challenging, but I can't do that. I can't be a witness on my own when there are obstacles. I mean, in and of myself, I can't get over that sin on my own. How do I deal with that?
Well, I think we can learn from Jesus how to deal with it. It's much has been made of the fact that Jesus didn't withdraw into the safe religious community of his time, but instead he was out on the streets. He was engaging with tax collectors, and he was engaging with prostitutes. He was engaging with the people who weren't in the synagogue on the Sabbath day and following all of the rules. He was criticized by the Pharisees and Sadducees, the good religious people of his day, because he ate with sinners. And now we know, that eating with people in biblical times was recognition of fellowship. And Jesus didn't, of course he was offended by their sins. He was troubled by their sins, but he didn't let that be a barrier for him to engage with these people while they were yet sinners. And this is the gospel passage, I think, that really speaks to this in such a powerful way is in Romans, where it says, that God demonstrates his love in this, that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. And so we go out into the world, and guess what we're going to encounter? We're going to find people in their sin. And some of them are going to be troubled by it. Some of them are going to be despairing over it. Some of them are going to be proud of it and celebrating it. But wherever they are in their sin, God has sent us into their lives to meet them where they're at.
And that sin is going to be offensive.
It is, and rightly so. But we bring something that is also offensive. it's a stumbling block to the Jews and foolishness to the Gentiles. But for those who believe, it's the power of salvation. We bring the cross into the world. That's an offense. And so I guess we're fighting offense with offense. we don't have to be afraid of those things that are offensive to us as we bring the offense of the gospel into the world.
And our task is simply to bring the gospel to order to be a witness, our task is to be a witness, and that includes bringing the gospel. And sometimes we get confused and we think that our job is to change that person or to change their habits, their sin or something about them, attributes about them, because that would make them better.
So it's someone has put it in terms of fishing, because I think of somebody in the Bible who said something about making us fishers of men, but somebody pressed that analogy a little bit further and says that, God doesn't, God catches us first and cleans us up after, like you catch a fish and then you clean it.
You clean it.
Yeah, not the same thing, I hope. I mean, that's not a good picture. So every analogy breaks down, that one breaks down real fast. But the thought of that is let's not try to clean people up to make them less offensive to God or to the church before we engage them with the gospel. The gospel comes to us in our wretchedness, in our horrible sinful condition.
I think there was a name for that kind of practice.
And that was
social gospel.
Social gospel, yes. That's one application. So
where we try to make everybody better before
right?
Yeah, we try to reform them or make them better in terms of their earthly life.
Right, and a really really serious danger of that is we end up making them better in their earthly life instead of sharing the gospel with them, as though it's enough to clean someone up.
There's certainly nothing wrong with it. There are valuable things in improving our earthly lives and in going about these, our earthly lives in ways that are helpful to others and to ourselves. But
right. Absolutely. The social work, the mercy work we do opens all sorts of opportunities for sharing the gospel with people, and we should be doing it in that way. So when we engage people in the world, in a sinful, broken world, we should expect them to be sinful people. And I hope that sin offends us. But if we follow Lassie, the listen, ask, seek, share, invite, encourage, we start by listening. All right, so these people are involved in offensive sin. What's their attitude about it? Where are they at? Then start asking questions to understand, what do they think of sin? How has it affected their lives? What are they looking for that's better than their current circumstances? How has this sin left them broken? Because that's what sin does. Whether they celebrate it or not, that sin is destructive. And then you're seeking a way of, do I speak law or gospel? What do I share with this person to show them that their sin is an offense to God and it separates them from Him? What do I share with this person to show that there's a better way in Jesus than the sin they've embraced? And then, so these are the ways we overcome those obstacles, but it all begins with us being willing to go out and get dirty, to engage people in their sinfulness, to get past our personal dislike of someone else's sin, to bring them the good news of Jesus, who has removed the offense of our sins from us through his death on the cross and presents us as holy, perfect, and righteous before the Father.
Much like in the way that Jesus took on human flesh and came into our smelly world.
Yes.
Much dwelt like among that. Us.
And now he sends his church in his stead to do that same work.
Hmm.
And for the joy set before him, the scripture tells us, he endured all this, despising the shame.
He took joy in it.
He took joy in it. And so should we.
Hmm. Well, I'm glad you mentioned Lassie, because we have our Lassie email address for listeners with questions or comments. Maybe they have something they want us to talk about here on Witness Wednesday.
Sure, and especially as we go through the series of obstacles to witnessing, if there's something to say, wow, I'm really struggling with this, I want to tell people about Jesus. I want to, maybe even somebody specific in your life, but there's an obstacle. Say, how do I overcome that? How do I deal with that obstacle? Because we know that obstacle isn't coming from the Lord. who wants all men to hear of Christ and come mm-hmm. to the knowledge of the truth. That obstacle is a work of Satan, and we need to know how to disarm him and get that obstacle out of the way so we can bring the Word of God to people.
So the email address, lassie@kfuo.org, and we'd be glad to address those obstacles right here on Witness Wednesday.
Absolutely.
Questions or comments, lassie@kfuo.org, and we'll talk about them here on Witness Wednesday.
Looking forward to it.
Anything else new coming up in Witness and Outreach, Revitalization?
Oh, tons of stuff. And this weekend we're doing the Everyone His Witness workshop for the first time, the whole workshop in South Wisconsin District. We have 63 people signed up for that, which was a tremendous response. So we're going to go out and teach them how to use Lassie in their everyday lives.
Wow. How to use Lassie in everyday life. 63 people in South Wisconsin District.
Yes.
Very good. Well, blessings as you travel to the South Wisconsin District. At least it's not freezing cold yet.
Well, you know, my last two trips there, I've been stuck there in a blizzard and in a thunderstorm. So I'm kind of curious of what's going to happen this time.
So. Blessings on your travels. Thanks so much for Witness Wednesday.
All right. We'll see you next Wednesday.
We'll see you next Wednesday. Well, coming up in just a little bit, morning prayer here on Worldwide KFUO. Stick around.